This morning's reading is taken from John 1, verses 14 to 18, and this may be found on page 886 of the Pew Bibles. John 1, 14 to 18. Hear the word of the Lord. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Lord, bless this reading of your holy word.
Let our teacher and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, what a mystery! Meekness and majesty, bow down and worship. This is our true God. The one, the baby born at Bethlehem, he alone is God. He is the Word who was with God, the Word who is God. The Word who we celebrate now as made flesh among us. Wonder if you've all seen the John Lewis Christmas advert. Do you remember when the big TV event at Christmas time was the publication of the bumper edition of Radio Times? Nowadays, it's the first showing of the Christmas adverts. There's a significant change there in how we relate to television and Christmas. Now, I'm not against John Lewis. Don't get me wrong there. It's a great shop. It's a fine shop, but other shops are available. I'm not even against TV ads, except when they interrupt the program you're watching just at the exciting bit and you wish you could fast forward through them. Giving gifts is one of the good things about Christmas. It's one of the things that we love to teach our children and our grandchildren as they grow up, that it's good to give, and especially at Christmas time. But it does seem to me that this particular advert turns the whole story of Christmas completely on its head. We've been thinking about giving gifts today. We've got a huge pile here of wonderful gifts that have been brought to share with others at Christmas time. Giving is a good thing to do at Christmas time. But that isn't the main thing about Christmas. The main thing about Christmas is not our giving to someone else. It's not about our giving to God. We can give to others all year round. We can give things to God in response to him any day. There's something more important at Christmas time than tying a parcel to a bunch of balloons and floating it off to the other side of the world. Christmas isn't really about us giving to God or about us giving to others, because Christmas is really all about God giving to us. God giving to us. At Christmas, God gives himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby who is born in Bethlehem. That baby has another name, Emmanuel, God with us. The direction of the parcel is not traveling from earth somewhere up into space, but from God down here to earth to be God with us. Today our reading brings us right to the very center of Christmas, God giving himself to us in Jesus. The fancy word is incarnation, carne, flesh, meat. God comes to us and takes on our human flesh. One version translates the phrase, God moves into our neighborhood. Isn't that great? We don't need to move ourselves from our neighborhood to get to God, because God moves in to our neighborhood. The true God, the only God, has come to us. That's what we share. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. We have looked in wonder upon his glory, the glory that the one-of-a-kind God from the Father brings to us and shares to us. What do we see when we look at Christmas time? What do we see if we, by faith, are able to peer into that stable and see there that baby in a manger? Well, of course, we would see a baby, a human, flesh, toes and fingers and arms and all the things that we have in our bodies. But John, all the way through his telling of the gospel, makes a great point of this, that those who were there when they saw Jesus saw something more than just another human baby or another human adult when he grew. They were able to see something of God's glory. We see his glory. In many ways, glory has become an overused word. There are many things to which we ascribe glory, and we say the celebrity is glorious, sports events are glorious, or different achievements are glorious. The Hebrew word from the Old Testament that's often translated glory also has the meaning heavy, from which we get significance. Something which we would describe as glory or glorious has weight or significance. And I find that thought helpful. To be significant, you don't need to be living in a palace. You don't need to be rich and famous. You don't need to be powerful, as the world counts power. Significance can be measured in very different ways. The impact of someone on our lives can be hugely significant, but no one else might ever know them or their name. In Jesus, we have the very significance of God, the weight of God, the glory of God, come to be with us. The very notion of God taking upon himself human flesh was always repulsive to Greeks. Those clever philosophical folks, they thought this was a repugnant notion. And there are many Greeks among us today. Many people who think that what we're about is journeying through until the real me, which is somewhere inside, can be set free from this body of flesh. But that's not how God thinks about the significance of our human bodies and our human flesh. We are whole people, body and spirit together. In his coming to us, we see God lifting us up, catching us up into his own glory. Our lives and the stuff of our lives, our hands and what we do with our hands, our eyes, what we look at with our eyes, our tongues, the words that we say with our tongues, our feet, where we go, our minds, what we think about. Our bodies become significant to God. They are important to God. God's mission among us is not to destroy, but to renew and recreate all things. In achieving his mission, our God joins himself with our humanity. He does that in Jesus. He is present among us as one of us. God cares about our flesh so much that he came in Jesus to unite himself to our flesh. How much then should we love and care for ourselves? Look after our bodies. How much should we love and care for one another? Help others to care for themselves, to treasure this body which God has created for us. If God loves us so much that he would come in Jesus and move into our flesh, how much should we love one another? The Greek word John uses in verse 14 is notoriously slippy, a difficult word. I like one of a kind as an approach to getting close to what John is trying to say about Jesus in this verse. There's something one of a kind about Jesus, something unique about him. He's unique in relation to God. Well, he is God, and that makes him unique right from the start. In his eternal pre-existence, in his coming from heaven to be with us, in his sharing his life with us, in his death for us, in his resurrection, in his reign over us, in his eternal love and care for us. In so many ways, Jesus is unique, one of a kind. There's no other religion or faith group or worldview that teaches that God has taken on human flesh for us. There's no other faith that professes that this Jesus born in Bethlehem is God with us. Jesus is one of a kind. There is no one else like Jesus. The wonder of Christmas is that this unique God has come to us. He doesn't ask us to go to him. He doesn't ask us to send anything to him. He comes himself to us. And we see God with us. As we celebrate Christmas, the true God is not asking us to give him anything. He is giving everything to us. We see the glory of God in his giving the Lord Jesus to us. The significance of this is that when we could not find our way home to God, God finds his way to us to catch us up and bring us home to him. The true God would plead with you today. Stop searching for God. You don't need to look hard for God because God has come and found you in Jesus. Stop trying to earn God's favor by doing something so that you might give God something. God already loves you so much. Jesus has come to be God with you. God with us. There is no more significant, no more glorious good news than this. The one God who made everything there is, the one God who loves you, has come to be with you. That's Christmas right there. In these verses, not only do we see the glory of God, there is something else for us to receive. Not a telescope that we might peer across vast distances towards God, but we receive from God in Jesus grace and truth. We receive grace and truth from God. Grace is the act of favor of God towards us, which we don't deserve. That anything exists at all is a work of God's grace. That God has been patient with us despite our rebellion against him is a work of God's grace. That God gives Jesus to us, knowing that we will reject him, is a work of God's grace. Grace isn't about fear. Grace is God doing for us what we don't deserve, what we cannot earn. Truth is a much harder thing than grace. Truth is much more black and white. God is God. Jesus is King and Lord and Savior. Truth. What God says is true, whether we like it or not. That God plans to redeem and renew all creation in Jesus, this is truth. Nothing we can do will change the truth of the gospel. In Jesus born for us in Bethlehem, true God of true God, we receive both grace and truth. Law was given through Moses, but in Jesus we receive both grace and truth. Not one without the other, but both together. There are too many who cocoon themselves in grace. They try to hide from the truth of their lives and the choices they have made. They try to hide and snuggle up and pretend that they haven't rejected God when they have. In the comfort of what they imagine as grace, they hide themselves from the reality of Jesus, who is God. Grace alone will numb us into submission. But not submission to God, submission to our own comfort. On the other hand, there are too many who have been wounded by truth. Truth declared without grace. Words which might be truth, but which are spoken to wound. Sinner, unrighteous, heretic. These words may be truth. Indeed, for all of us, they have been words of truth. But you see, God will never speak the truth of your life to you apart from his grace. It's sad that we don't achieve that high standard. God's truth is that we all need a Savior. God's grace is that a Savior has been given to us, who is Jesus. God's grace, together with God's truth, is our salvation, our new life with God in Christ. When we receive grace and truth, we receive God himself, because these words describe the very character and nature of God. Think of our families and friends, people who we're going to share time with over the next few weeks. Some are lively and funny. They make us laugh. Some are clever. Whenever we're with them, we learn something new. Some are quiet and reflective, and they help us to slow down, to take time to notice what's going on around us. They all have different gifts and personalities which they bring into their relationship with us. We receive so much from being in the presence of these friends and family. When we are in the presence of God, when God is with us, his nature of grace, his nature of truth is imparted to us just by being in his presence. God wants us to receive his grace and his truth through Jesus this Christmas time. A child is born. It's so ordinary. It's so everyday. And yet in this child, this one-of-a-kind child, this child who is God taking upon himself our humanity, we see the uncreated glory of God in our flesh. We receive from his presence with us the grace of his love, the truth of his gospel. We receive these things by being with him. This Christmas, let God open your eyes to see his glory, the eternal significance of Jesus born for you. This Christmas, let God open your hands. God open your life to receive from him the grace and truth of his presence. This Christmas, let's allow God to be the true God, the one God for us. God who in Jesus alone is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your grace and your truth, for the wonder of your love to us. And we know that we don't deserve your glory and your presence with us. But we pray that these days, as we journey on through Advent, you would fix our eyes more and more upon Jesus, that we would know our true God in him, that our lives would be in balance, receiving both grace and truth from you and your presence among us. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers and be at work among us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing together again, Oh What a Mystery, Meekness and Majesty. And after the benediction and the doxology, please, if you could give us just a minute or two to show you our new website, that would be great. But let's sing together, Meekness and Majesty.
Majesty.
Let us go in hope as we wait for the coming of Jesus our King, and the blessing of our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, today and forevermore.